Now, ladies and gentlemen, from Chicago, the world's best political humorist, Bill Melberg. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
Hey, and good morning to you, my friend. Let's talk about another trip to the 23rd century this morning.
Well, Stevie, we are, and Diane, we are taking, as you say, another voyage into the future. And, you know, it's been nearly 1 year since we left our listeners hanging with our premiere episode of Kinect FM Star Trek.
That's right.
So this morning, the Kinect FM players will pick up where we left off by presenting the sequel to that first episode, which we called Space Zap, with another, Episode 2, The Wrath of Gore.
Before we do that, Bill, we should mention that our radio version of Star Trek includes a few changes in the format and in the cast of characters. For example, our version takes place aboard the starship USS Free Enterprise.
Yes, it does, and we should begin with a review of what happened on the last episode of Kinect FM Star Trek.
We'll be doing that at the start of this episode, so without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's head back into the 23rd century with Kinect FM Star Trek. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Free Enterprise. Its ongoing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new profits, to bring fun to Friday mornings and to boldly go where no politicians have gone before. This week's episode, The Wrath of Gore. Following the discovery in our last episode of an old Earth spaceship orbiting the planet Vega Alpha 5, an away team boarded the strange vessel and found the frozen bodies of a small group of human space travelers. But before we pick up our story, let's meet the crew of the USS Free Enterprise once again. First, Captain John T. McCain.
Greetings, my friends. Just call me Captain.
First Officer William Jefferson Clinton.
Just call me Bill. And even though it's totally illogical, remember that old Vulcan saying, vote early and vote often.
Chief Medical Officer Henry Kissinger.
That's Dr. Kissinger to you. And don't forget, don't call me Bones.
Chief Engineer George W. Bush.
This is Mr. W. reporting from the engine room. Everything's working just fine and dandy at this end, Captain.
And Chief Communications Officer Barney Frank.
It is my privilege, as well as my pleasure, to serve aboard the USS Free Enterprise. And as the ship's communications officer, I will do my best to do my duty to Starfleet and my crewmates in today's thrilling episode.
And let's begin today's thrilling episode. Take it away, Captain John McCain.
Captain's log, stardate 3141.51112. We're orbiting the planet Vega Alpha 5, where a strange vessel was detected by our ship's sensors. Was it an old Earth spaceship, as it appeared to be? Could there be anyone on board? Seeking the answers to those questions, I, as the ship's captain, made a gutsy decision to beam over to the mysterious vessel with an away team. At least I think that's what I did.
Uncertain of what happened in the last episode, the aging Captain McCain turns to Mr. Frank and says,
Mr. Frank, do you have the ship's recording from the last 2 minutes of our last episode?
Mr. Frank replies,
yes, I do, Captain. It's right here at my little fingertips. Wait just a second as I bring it up on the view screen.
Moments later, Communications Officer Barney Frank plays back this recording of the last part of the last episode. We pick up the story with Captain McCain saying,
Bioscanners report.
The ship's medical officer, Dr. Kissinger, reports from the ship's medical office.
Life science bioscanners are picking up heartbeats from over there, Captain. But they can't be human. They're too faint. Only 4 beats per minute. That's even slower than the way I talk.
That's slow, all right.
Chief Engineer W, are you picking up anything?
Aye, Captain, we're picking up some sort of beep, beep, beep thingy. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be some kind of doohickey working aboard that ship making that funny beep, beep, beep noise.
Dr. Kissinger issues a further report about life signs.
Captain, we are continuing to pick up some form of heart action over there. Very faint, very slow. If you were to ask me for my opinion, I would tell you that there are probably 60 or 70 bodies over there. They seem to be in some sort of suspended animation.
At this point, Captain McCain makes a gutsy decision.
Mr. Clinton, Dr. Kissinger, Mr. W., I want you to join me in the transporter room. I've just made a gutsy decision to board the mystery spaceship. Mr. Frank, you have the comm until we come back.
Oh, terrific! I love being in charge of a starship. Photon torpedoes, phaser banks, warp drive engines, dilithium crystals, all at my little fingertips. This is a dream come true. Don't worry, Captain. I'll take good care of the free Enterprise while you're away.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. Just don't push any buttons or touch any dials until I return.
A few minutes later, in the transporter room, Captain McCain and his away team prepare to beam over to the mystery ship. And Mr. W. notes that the strange vessel seems to be expecting them.
Hey, it looks like that ship is expecting us. According to my tricorder gizmo, the heat is coming on, and the ship's cabin is filling up with O2. That's oxygen.
I know what O2 is, Mr. W., and that's very, very interesting. Are you ready to beam over there, Bones?
Captain McCain's question is directed to Dr. Kissinger.
Captain, if you'll recall the beginning of this program, specifically in the middle of page 3 on today's script, I asked you not to call me Bones. Call me Dr. Kissinger.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kissinger. I forgot about how sensitive you are and egotistical. So I'll repeat my question. Are you ready to beam over there?
Are you kidding? I signed aboard this ship to practice diplomacy. I mean medicine. Not to have my atoms scattered back and forth across space by this gadget.
Damn it, John, I'm a doctor, not a particle physicist.
Captain McCain then gives the order to energize the transporter.
Energize. Make it so. Engage. Whatever.
And with that order, Captain McCain, First Officer Clinton, Dr. Kissinger, and Mr. W. dematerialize as they are transported to the mystery ship. On board the mystery ship, the away team looks around the cabin. Captain McCain asks Mr. Clinton, Dr. Kissinger, Mr. W. for their impressions.
Gentlemen, give me your impressions.
All right, here's my impression of Rodney Dangerfield.
I tell you, I got no respect. I got no respect at all. It's been that way my whole life, you know. Oh, yeah. When I was born, the doctor slapped my mother. And I grew up in a bad neighborhood. It was rough, really rough. Our high school physics teacher asked us to prove the law of gravity, so we threw him out the window.
Captain McCain was not amused by Mr. W.'s impersonation.
Stop that, Mr. W. I'm not impressed by your impression. But say, am I seeing things, or did one of those frozen bodies just move? See if you can open up that freezer.
Mr. W. examines what appears to be a control panel and says,
I think this doohickey right here might do the job.
Mr. W. presses a button, and the glass-covered freezer with the mysterious human being slowly and silently begins to open. As the away team looks down at him, the man opens his eyes and says,
Who are you? Where am I? What year is this?
I'm Captain John T. McCain of the USS Free Enterprise, my friend. And this is Stardate 3141.51112. You're on board your own ship. And who, may I ask, are you?
The stranger looks up at the away team and says,
"Why, don't you know me? I won the Nobel Prize, the Academy Award, and the popular vote for president in the year 2000. Wait, I know who you are. You're Gore. Yes, I'm Gore.
What is Al Gore doing in outer space? Why was his body frozen? Was it because he always looked stiff? Or was there another reason that brought Al Gore to this distant planet? These questions and more will be answered when we come back with the exciting conclusion of The Wrath of Gore. With Kinect FM Star Trek and the exciting conclusion of today's episode, The Wrath of Gore. When we went to the commercial break, Al Gore had just announced his identity with these words.
I'm Gore, Albert Gore Jr., Nobel Prize laureate, Academy Award winner, and winner of the popular vote for President of the United States in the year 2000. And I would have been elected governor of the first moon colony in 2024 if Newt Gingrich hadn't edged me out by a handful of votes from Tranquility Base.
Captain McCain asks Al Gore what he's doing in a spaceship orbiting the planet Vega Alpha 5.
Mr. Gore, my friend, what are you doing here in a spaceship orbiting the planet Vega Alpha 5?
And Al Gore explains,
looking for flowers, Captain McCain. Looking for flowers for Mother's Day. You see, all plant life on Earth was being threatened by the killing effects of global warming and excessive levels of CO2 generated by greedy capitalists, SUVs, and cow flatulence. So my tree-hugging crewmates and I came here in search of a planet with a climate that would help plants grow so that people back on Earth could give their moms flowers for Mother's Day.
Dr. Kissinger tells Al Gore that CO2 is good for plants.
But Mr. Gore, didn't you know that CO2 is good for plant growth and so are warm temperatures? Plant life did not disappear in the 21st century. It thrived. Really? Do you mean that there are still plenty of flowers back on Earth? Yes. Really?
Captain McCain makes an offer to Al Gore.
Mr. Gore, why don't you and your frozen friends come back with us to Earth? We can travel at warp speed, you know, unlike your old-fashioned chemical rockets, so you won't have to be frozen for the long trip across space. We'll have you home in plenty of time to buy some flowers and help us celebrate Mother's Day with our dear old moms.
Gore accepts Captain McCain's kind offer.
Oh, that sounds just peachy. I accept your kind offer.
Back aboard the Free Enterprise, Communications Officer Barney Frank, who has been listening to this conversation via Captain McCain's communicator, says,
"Hooray! I just love happy endings, and this one is terrific. With a happy Mother's Day journey home."
And so ends today's episode, Kinect FM Star Trek. And on behalf of the cast and crew of the USS Free Enterprise, we want to wish all of the mothers in our Kinect FM audience a very happy Mother's Day. Bill Melberg from Chicago. How are you, Bill?
Well, I'm just fine after that trip to the future.
What fun. What fun to hear from all of those characters. And I remember how way out Star Trek felt in the 60s when I watched it on TV.
but now it's also familiar.
That's right.
There are old friends, even though we have a slightly different cast.
That's exactly right.
And the Riot of Gore. I was almost governor of the Moon Colony, but Newt Gingrich beat me.
Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for your time and talent. It's a pleasure having you on every Friday morning.
Ask you well, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
That's Bill Melberg, and eveningwiththepresidents.com. You can find Bill at eveningwiththepresidents.com. Wrath of Gore.
Love it.
How fun. Okay, stand by. The Herd will be next. Scott Van Pelt, noon to 3, all on ESPN. And then TNJ with another man law question. It's only a man law question yesterday. It's only okay for a guy to have salad if it has something on top that used to have a face.